Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Friday, October 30th. Tomorrow is Halloween, so happy Halloween to everyone out there. And it is also the 12th anniversary of the Bitcoin white paper coming out. So Pat, how will you be celebrating?
I guess buying more Bitcoin. I don't know. It's going to be a party. Maybe I'll bake a cake, some sort of Bitcoin-shaped cake. Probably not.
All right. How are the Bitcoin prices today?
That's right. Bitcoin's at 13,528, up about 0.5%. And Ethereum is down about 0.5% to 383.69. So mixed day across the board. And that also goes for the U.S. markets. Been mostly down on the market. So Bitcoin's still rallying. Happy birthday. You know, 12 years, 12K. Is that 13K? It's pretty close.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, it works.
All right. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So let's wrap up a few items from news items from the week. So Coinbase's debit card is launching in the U.S., and it'll let users earn back Bitcoin.
Yeah, this is really cool. I mean, basically, this is in the vein of Kraken getting their license in Wyoming. It is just more mainstreaming of cryptocurrency. I think that this ties in very nicely with Coinbase. They already have the USDC. You know, the idea of being able to basically go straight from Bitcoin to USDC and then spend the USDC off your bank card is awesome. I mean, that is really closing the loop on the financial industry, even more so than just spending Bitcoin, where it actually, because the problem is whenever you do these things where you actually do the exchange just in time, you're usually taking a pretty bad hit on the exchange rates. Like no one who's serious would really want to use a coin that's doing the exchange rate just in time, because you know you're getting kind of screwed on the exchange rate. You're getting screwed on fees. Like there's all these sort of things that line up where you don't really have confidence in using it at a fair exchange rate. But if you can back it with a stable coin and it's, and then you can be doing like weekly transfers or weekly buys or purchases, that's awesome. So I see more and more of this happening where people are using, you know, the different various stable coins to back their crypto purchases off of their, or to back their purchases off their debit card. And that's really exciting.
Yeah, very interesting. All right. This week, also, someone moved $1.1 billion worth of Bitcoin, which is interesting, I guess, because it's the largest dollar amount moved in one transaction. But the more interesting and impressive part is that they only paid $3.58 in fees.
Yeah. So a few things interesting. They track these wallets back. And I have a little bit of incredulity about this statement I'm about to make, but it was reported, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They said it was from a Zappo wallet. So it's kind of unclear. Zappo got purchased by Coinbase last year, I guess it was. So this might have been moving some custodial funds around, and not like, I think it was being reported as this is a whale moving, but it could have also been one of the institutions moving some funds around. That's sort of the first interesting thing. Second interesting thing is this is not actually the largest movement of Bitcoin in history. It's the largest dollar amount, but the largest movement of actual Bitcoins was $500,000 was moved in a single transaction as part of the Mt. Gox hack back in the day in the Mt. Gox issues. So all that, you know, these are completely meaningless, but very interesting statistics. 385 is great. I actually don't know, to be super honest, for very obvious reasons, I don't know what it would cost to move $1 billion. If you had $1 billion of cash in your bank account, I mean, I know when I send a wire transfer, they charge me $25. Would it cost $25 to move $1 billion? Or do you have to pay more than that to move $1 billion?
You know, I've never sent a wire that
God.
Big.
I'm going to have to start sending my $1 billion around, just sort of like, you know, check how this is. So, but it's still, I mean, it's still less than $25. And at the end of the day, it is, you know, someone self-sovereigning this kind of money and moving around this much. People complain about Bitcoin fees, but really, I mean, when you look at this, when you sort of zoom out and look at the grand scheme of things, it is phenomenal that in 12 years, we have created a currency that you can move $1 billion for $3 around the world. That is just, it's just kind of like mind-boggling.
Yeah. All right, up next. So Trump's campaign website was hit by hackers touting a crypto scam.
Well, it was this is barely a crypto story, but it's
I think the election is coming up next week.
Well, and it also was a series of hacks that have happened. Like, everyone enjoys when politicians make wild statements about things. In this case, Trump said it's crazy for anyone to get hacked. And then within 1 week, he had his Twitter hacked, they had their website hacked, and then they also miswired $2.3 million to they said a hack. I think it was just someone sent them an invoice that they paid that they shouldn't have, but whatever. They basically got hacked 3 times in a week. So this sort of goes, don't call out hackers is my general philosophy on this. It sort of is not the best way to approach it. The reason this did pop up in the crypto news was that essentially the hacker defaced the website and then put kind of 2 links and said, hey, if you want to, when I hacked this, I found a bunch of emails. If you want me to release them, send money here. And if you don't want me to release them, send money here. So and then gave Monero addresses. So Monero is, of course, a very, very secure coin for privacy. That's why it got pegged there. I don't know. Super interesting. Good job, hacker. The world, I think, at least half the U.S. thought it was really funny.
All right. So next, DeFi lending protocol app passes off governance to the community. This is coming up.
Yeah. This also goes. I mean, this is an important, genuinely important news for the DeFi Daily. It also goes along with a couple things. They are changing the number of tokens that are outstanding. This is where the actual AV coin. So before AV was called Lend. Everyone knows this. If you're listening to this, you probably know what it is. It's called Lend. It's now moved over to be the AV coin. 16 million total in token, in total tokens issued. 3 million of those are getting reserved for the community. I'm sorry, for the company itself. The rest go to the community. I think this sort of goes hand in hand with Uniswap, where it's yet to be seen how much value there is in the governance. I'm not totally convinced on the AV protocol that there's a lot of value in the governance. There's just not that much you can really do on it. There's like some fiddling with deposit fees, and there's some fiddling with interest rates and things like that. But at the end of the day, like, it's not like you could take over. It's not like if you bought enough AV, you could take over the company and everyone would work for you. I mean, it's just not the way that these things work, because these are centralized VC-backed companies. So interesting, fun. It will get people excited. AV will, I'm sure, see a spike. But end of the day, like, is it really that big of a thing? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. So a new regulation in Iran is asking that Bitcoin miners sell their Bitcoin to the central bank.
Yeah. Well, so Iran, we all know Iran for years has been the target of various sanctions from various parts of the world. What that tends to lead to is a few things. I mean, obviously, they've had trouble selling goods. They've had basically currency crisis after currency crisis. But at least to kind of a funny tertiary issue, which is they just don't end up having a lot of hard cash around in foreign reserves. And part of the issue with that is that you can't transact with the with your native currency with the rest of the world. Like, most people don't take Iranian dollars at this point. If you're going to do anything, and Iran is known pretty prolifically for black market, basically using black market mechanisms to buy weapons, buy oil, sell oil, they'll take it. They sell on the black market. You can't actually transact on the black market unless you have no one on the black market takes your money, your state issue money. It has to be coming off of the you have to be using foreign reserves. And so one of the funny parts of this is that if you can get cryptocurrency, you can essentially start you can use that to bolster your foreign reserves. And so in this case, what they're doing is they're basically ordering, by law, I don't know how enforceable it is, but if you're mining cryptocurrency or holding cryptocurrency, they're asking that you sell that to the central bank, and then they'll give you back the Iranian Iranian money for it. And then that gives them the ability to go and then arbitrage that out to other foreign currencies, which then puts them in a better place in the world in general. So I think this is super interesting. I think that this is absolutely a sign of Bitcoinification, like a Bitcoin flippening within it. Is if you as a sovereign nation, I don't know any other sovereign nations that are buying crypto. I know sovereign nations that hold crypto because they've seized it after drug busts. I don't know any other sovereign nations that are buying crypto. That is really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. Happy Halloween and happy 12th anniversary of Bitcoin.
Take it easy.